staying here in the adult class as well. And we're going to be in lesson number 8, page 33 in our book. I don't have any more books to give out, but we are going to be, of course, in the Bible, and we will be in Proverbs 31 a lot today. And before we get started, maybe you have a Bible memory verse you want to try out on us. Joyce. Amen. All right. Someone else. Ron.
2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be
gentle.
But be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient. 2 Timothy 2:24.
Good. All right. Anybody else? Bible memory. Going once. All right, Ron, I'll give it to you, and you can give Joyce one as well. Got a little chocolate bag there for Bible memory. Janie's not back yet. I'm sure she'll be joining us soon. Well, let's go ahead and page 33, A Virtuous Woman, lesson number 8. The Bible asks in verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Last week we were talking about fathers. The glory of children are the fathers. And so we've been studying on the home each and every week. And so we have now a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? Our world has gone through tremendous changes in recent years. We have witnessed a revolution of moral values. A fierce attack is being waged not only upon manhood, but also upon biblical womanhood. Manhood is lacking today. This is where the problem starts. It never starts with the ladies. It starts with the men. Men are the responsible head. And so there is an attack on womanhood also. Women are being deceived and are trading their honored place in God's design for a place of dishonor in the devil's plan. Who can find a virtuous woman? And this is how it starts. Men do not lead by example, do not live according to the word of God. Men are to be the example of a father so that we as children can come to trust father. And then we realize we are to have a heavenly father. And we see how our father took care of our mother and how our father took care of us. And we trust our father. That's the plan. But when fathers shirk their responsibility, then children grow up not respecting father. So then when the Bible says that God is to be our father, well, that's not impressive because our father wasn't impressive. So it really starts with the men. So then what happens is the ladies try to pick up the slack. And a lot of countries where I've talked to missionaries in foreign countries, and it's right here in America now. Joshua just came from New York City yesterday. And so in a lot of places, the men are drunk and AWOL. So then the wives are trying to be the men. Okay, the wives are trying to be the men and the wife. And so then they've got a bitterness in their mouth and their mind towards men. And so they then become something they ought not be. And so it just is a domino effect. And it trickles down to the children. And then it repeats itself all over again. So who can find a virtuous woman? We read Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So notice the introduction in the chapter here. What, the son of my vows? What does that mean? I don't know exactly, but I know this, that there was another mother in the Bible named Hannah who made vows to God about her son. And when Samuel was born, she honored God with those vows. I don't know exactly what Lemuel's mother meant by that, but maybe that's what she meant. The son of my vows, I promise him, I dedicate him, he will be God's. All through the book of Proverbs, we have the idea that a father is teaching his son. This is the last chapter of Proverbs. You know, and early in the book, like chapter 1 and following, my son, give me thine heart. My son, forsake not the law. My son. And we get to the end, and now it's something different here. It's mother talking to the son. And so we have the idea that the father is teaching his son. But we come to this chapter, we find the words of a mother given to her son, King Lemuel. Not sure who King Lemuel was. Some think it might have been Solomon. But no one, I don't think, knows positively. She warns him not to run after women and to stay away from liquor. Well, that sounds like a godly mother. Then she says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? It's important that she warns him to stay away from the wrong women. And all throughout the book of Proverbs, you have this phrase, the strange woman. And the way to keep the strange woman strange is to make sure you don't get familiar with her. Otherwise, she's no longer strange. And so it's important that we point out, not necessarily literally, but we warn our young men about the strange woman. But then notice she also tells her son there is a very valuable woman. There is a woman you should be seeking after. There is a woman you should learn to recognize. I told the girls at Star Academy years ago when I was teaching there on Saturday mornings, and we'd go to the girls' chapel. And I, of course, would bring Miss Wilma with me and some other ladies. And, you know, I said, when I met my wife, it didn't take me long after a conversation or two to realize this is the woman I've been reading about in the book of Proverbs. A virtuous woman. It didn't take me long to recognize those things because I'd been reading the description of her in the Bible. And I think that's why it's important for young people to read Proverbs, both men and women, both young people, young ladies, young men. So she warned him not to run after the woman and to stay away from liquor. And this is good advice for anyone. There's nothing quite as precious on earth, humanly speaking, as a virtuous woman. There's just something special. I think of Ronald Reagan, and of course I have a lot of respect for Ronald Reagan. Don't think he was perfect. But I've been to his library more than once. It's been several years. It's been at least a decade probably since I was there last, or close to it. And I don't know who sets it up or anything, but when you walk in, the very first thing you see is his mother's Bible under glass, open to 2 Chronicles 7:14 with her handwritten note in the margin. And I appreciate a virtuous woman. I think the key to strong leadership in men is the woman behind them, mothers and then wives. So the heart, we're going to look at page 34 and page 35. We got three H's today. First of all, the heart of a virtuous woman. Let's look at the heart. Verse 10 again. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? It causes us to realize that we should be more concerned about a woman's character than her accomplishments. That is opposite of what the world's teaching today. The world teaches that a woman is valuable based on her accomplishment, based on her outward beauty, based on something else. That's what makes her valuable to society, according to society. But it's a woman's character that makes all the difference. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7, there's a list of things. And it says, add to your faith. And the very first thing to add. Now, you don't add faith. God, you get faith when you're saved by faith. All right. Faith is your foundation. All right. Now, you need to grow in your faith. But we have a salvation that is a gift from God. It is not by works. It is a faith in Christ, in Christ alone. So we don't add salvation to ourselves. We get that from the Lord. That is our foundation. But what we can add to our foundation is all these different things. And the very first thing in the list is virtue. Add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance. So it's important. Virtue is an important thing. It is a very valuable thing and very prioritized here in that list in 2 Peter 1. Notice carefully that we don't add faith, as it says in our book here, but we add to our faith. The first thing God says to add is virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. I said verse 5. I want to show you something in 2 Peter 1, 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So if you're saved, you've escaped that. But now you have the opportunity to take advantage of the great, precious promises that are there. that you might be partakers of the divine nature. Last Wednesday night I was talking about how that salvation is not something you earn. It's not something you can merit. However, God would have us to add to our salvation many things that would be a glorifying to Him and an escape for us in partaking of something that would be something only you as a Christian can partake in and have opportunity in. So the second paragraph here in the book, virtue has to do with godly character and Christ-likeness. Virtue is an inside thing. Virtue is such a quality, and yet the world despises it. The world makes such an emphasis on the outward. If you're a young man and you see a sports car of any kind, you are instantly enamored and ready to buy it. You have even popped the hood to see if there's an engine in it. But because it looks good, you want it. And that's just how we are. Fortunately, that's how men have been trained to think about women. And then the women complain about being objects or whatever it might be. And it's just a vicious cycle. But you know what? Quality ought to be more about what's on the inside than what's on the outside. Because everybody knows the outside starts to fade and rust and wear out. But the inside stays the same and hopefully even improves. Virtue is not trying to be like someone else, but it's allowing the indwelling Christ that's in you to take control and to make you like Him from the inside out. Virtue is a character. It's a quality trait inward. Virtue becomes a garden from which other desirable qualities bloom and grow. So you add to your faith virtue, then you add to your faith knowledge and temperance. And it starts with the honesty and the integrity. Without that, you can forget knowledge. Doesn't matter how much you know if you don't have virtue. And so that's where it starts. And so it's a garden that the other desirable qualities can bloom and grow in. God says men need to find a virtuous woman. In today's world, there are so few virtuous women. The blush is gone from our society. People walk around immodest. People walk around without even a clue that they are immodest. You go to a third world country and you see people that don't even have clothes and barely have anything on, and you say, my goodness, this is just terrible. We're getting there right here in America. And the immodesty is just so prevalent, we're conditioned to it and we don't even think about it anymore. The blush is gone. But a virtuous woman still has this. A virtuous woman has a heart for God and wants to live a holy life for God. Her desire is to please Him. The box here says, virtue in the heart will produce modesty in appearance. If it's inside your heart, it will come outside on the outside. I will say this, the outside does not prove the heart, but if it is in your heart, there will be evidences of it. I talked with Caleb several times and about, of course, young ladies, as he's very much interested in finding God's will for his life and yet doesn't want to find the wrong one. And we've talked about modesty and apparel and things like that. And we both agreed that the number one quality for modesty is the heart. Because if a person's heart is modest, everything else will be modest as well. I have seen young ladies that were forced to dress a certain way because that was the rule or standard in the group that they were in. And the apparel itself was what you'd say more modest. However, on an immodest girl, it's still immodest. There's just something about an immodest heart that reveals itself no matter what you cover it with, and vice versa. And so she finds out what Christ wants, and she does it. There's just no argument with her. There's no fight. There's no opposition. She just wants to live a holy life for God. She wants to please Him. It tells us in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. I'll go there. 1 Timothy 2:9. I'm going to go back to Proverbs in a minute. Proverbs chapter 7. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, and there's quite a list here for men and then for ladies. And it says in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And we don't see that today. I said it Wednesday night, and my wife commented afterwards. She said, you know, that's so true. I never really thought about it before. But I said Wednesday night that if I'm at Walmart or somewhere, and I see a lady in a very modest, non-revealing type outfit or dress or skirt, I instantly think to myself, that woman believes something. Don't know for sure what she believes, but she believes something. Because in today's world, you don't just dress like that unless you did it on purpose. She said, you know, you're right. I mean, even when she was Amish, they believed something. Now, they were wrong in what they believed. They were legalists trying to earn their way to heaven. But it just shows that there's a purpose. Now, back in Proverbs chapter 7, it says in verse 8, Proverbs 7, verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. This is the strange woman. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. All right, so here in Proverbs chapter number 7, it talks about the attire of a harlot. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about modest apparel. Again, it starts with the heart. I mean, you could have someone out there who just doesn't own anything quality, but they're still modest as an individual, and they're embarrassed that they don't own something better to wear. Whereas you've got someone who is immodest in their heart, and they purposely are wearing something that others would be embarrassed to put on. There's obviously, according to the Bible, an apparel that God approves and apparel that he doesn't approve. And it says the attire of a harlot. What does it mean, the attire of a harlot? Is it a color? If you wear purple, you're a harlot. Oh, no. Is it a t-shirt that says harlot on the back? No. It's a revealing. It's some kind of a revealing, some kind of an attraction notice getter for men, and it is the attire of a harlot. We know that. Well, guess what? Everybody's wearing the attire of a harlot. Everybody's walking around in revealing clothing, and they've lost the blush. The blush is gone. They don't even think about it, all right? All I'm saying is that if we could go back in time, or if we could go back in time 100, 150 years ago and pull some people out of their era in the 1800s, 1700s, and transport them back up into here and then drop them off on the streets of America in one of the big cities, they would be horrified. They'd be shocked. What is going on here? And we all know that. We've seen the pictures and the black and white photos. We know that. We've seen the paintings. We know. So, as taught in Titus chapter number 2, Titus chapter number 2, but ladies, I'm just going to emphasize it over and over again. It's not the clothes that make you virtuous or modest. It's the heart. That's our point today. The heart of a virtuous woman. If the heart's right, the clothes will figure itself out. You'll get that understood. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that's the older ladies, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, accused teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, that God's word would not be tarnished and dragged through the mud. Her heart affects her outward appearance. Her whole life is affected because of her heart. And the aged women have an example. They have a duty. If you're an aged woman, I'm not going to look at anybody, but I'm going to look straight at the clock right now. If you're an aged woman, I'm looking at the clock, I'm looking at Daniel. Daniel's not an aged woman. If you're an aged woman, you still have a responsibility. There's something you need to be doing. You need to be teaching and demonstrating, and maybe even pulling a young lady aside and say, hey, you know what? I didn't know this when I was your age, but now that I know it, I just want to share that with you. I'm still looking at the clock. That's your job as an aged woman. The world doesn't have a definition for modesty. You know that? They pretend that one's appearance doesn't matter. For modest, it just changes with whoever pushes the limit next. That's just what happens. And so the definition for a Christian comes from where? Where do we get our definition for modest? Webster's 1828 dictionary? That's not a bad place to look, but I got a better place. The Bible. The Bible. We know there's an attire of a harlot. Study it out. Find out what that was. What do you think they were doing back then? We know there was modest apparel. So the heart that wants to know can know. And the further left that the world goes, the more extreme the Bible seems. And that's where we're at today. The Bible's extreme. Thankfully, we are finally into July. The month of June is such a mess. Everybody wants to talk about some stupid, pretend, fake rainbow. Why? Because the world just keeps sliding left, just keeps going in the wrong direction. The world doesn't have a clue. They don't have an anchor. They have no fixed reference point. What? Who's to say what? Who's to say I can't do this? Why not? Where does it stop? There is no, without an anchor, we just drift. That's what we're doing. So where else can we find a virtuous woman dressed and modest and inside and out? You know where I would look? I would look where God's people are. There's no reason for you to have to meet someone somewhere else. Now, maybe you go to a camp or you go to something and you meet Christians from another church. By the way, Joseph's gone. You know where he's at? He's at a church in North Platte. You know why Joseph's in North Platte? So the heart of a virtuous woman. The heart of a virtuous woman. We need to recognize, you know what? I need to find the people who know the Bible. And if I hang around the Bible long enough, I will find what God wants. Joseph's got to drive 5 hours. Josh? Boom. Lexi just moved right here to the area. Got saved and heart got changed and there you go. That's God's plan. That's the way it's supposed to be. The heart of a virtuous woman. Now, secondly, the second H, the husband of a virtuous woman. There's responsibility for the man. Proverbs 31 and verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. What a blessing. Years ago, I heard a man talking. This man is now an elected official for Custer County. I heard him talking to another man. This was years ago. And someone said, well, where's your wife at? And he said, well, she should be at home. And then he said, at least I think she's at home. And the way he said it made everybody wonder what that meant. That's sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. The man who is married to a woman who is constantly trying to turn the heads of other men is a miserable husband. There are women who made me very uncomfortable just because they didn't act like they were married or that I was married. I can only feel sorry for their husband. Every virtuous wife deserves to have a God-honoring, Spirit-filled husband. And every Christian man deserves a virtuous wife that he can trust. And it's very discouraging and it's very demoralizing. It's such an insecurity for the other spouse when there isn't virtue being practiced. I've said it over and over again that David's mistake was not first being lazy and being in his bedroom when he ought to have been fighting with the other as kings go forth to battle. David's first mistake, according to Deuteronomy, was having more than one wife. Deuteronomy tells them they shouldn't have multiplied wives. If David had said to himself, I have a wife, therefore no matter who I see, it's not for me. So if you have a wife, it doesn't matter who else you see. Your eyes and your mind should not be thinking, looking, concentrating. You have a wife. And David's mistake number one was that right there. And so when you start to disobey God, it starts incrementally, little tiny steps, and then it hits you, boom, and you're in trouble. So you can't build a home without trust. I've always said to my family, the number one rule is honesty. I already know you're not perfect. I already know you're like your mom and dad. But the number one rule is you have to be honest. You might have just done the dumbest thing you could ever have done. But you got to be honest. You got to fess up and own up to it. And better yet, tell us before we find out about it. That will help you a lot if you tell us before we find out about it. But you have to have integrity and be honest. And that goes with husbands and wives. There ought not be any discovery that she was telling a little white lie, quote unquote, or that he was. So, Proverbs chapter 12, another good Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, says, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, I had the wrong verse. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. That means he's like a king. She makes him kingly. Her virtue makes him look better. She's a crown to her husband. I've often thought that. I've often thought, you know, I'm sure there are people out there that think that Matt Furze is the biggest jerk in the world. But he looks good because his wife is a virtuous lady. Praise the Lord for that. You ought to be thankful for your wife that's a virtuous woman. That helps you out greatly. It causes people to have to say, well, he must have done at least one thing right in his life. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. I've never had bone cancer, and I hope I never do. But some guys have spiritual bone cancer because their wife is not a virtuous woman. I hear it's awfully painful, and you can never get any rest. We need to be virtuous men, and we need to settle for less than wanting our spouse to be virtuous as well. So we see that a tremendous blessing is a virtuous woman to her husband. Wives, if you want to have a happy husband, and who doesn't want to have a happy husband? That'll help you out tremendously. Be a virtuous woman. Don't be a bone cancer. Don't be rottenness in the bones. Don't shame your husband. Being virtuous does not mean being seedy or ugly. The world does this. If you've ever watched movies, typically if it's a religious prude, she looks like one. You know, and they try to make the religious people, the Christian people, to look really stupid, really plain, ordinary, not appealing. That's how they do it. But remember, it's movies. It's not real all the time. It's not always reality. It doesn't mean you have to be ugly or homely. The most beautiful people in the world are those who have the beauty of the Lord upon them. Psalm 90, verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The box here in our book, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. My wife has had this happen to her more than once. Going shopping in Rapid, someone will be helping her. She'll be trying to find something. And an older man, not inappropriately, but an older man at Menards will say, you know, it's such a blessing to see, such a nice thing to see a lady in our store. That's all he'll say. What does he mean by that? Because I know there are more than one woman that goes into that store. So what does he mean when he says, it's so nice to see a lady to come into the store? And men, if you have a virtuous woman, make sure she knows it. Make sure that she knows that you know it. Because back there in Proverbs 31, it says, verse 28, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her, but also, verse 28, her husband praises her. And that'll be our third point. If you have a virtuous wife, love her and thank God for her. She is a crown to your life. And then lastly, the heart of a virtuous woman, the husband of a virtuous woman, and the home of a virtuous woman. These are going to be some verses. We'll just read them all together. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's not lazy. During the week, we have our scripture collating on Wednesday mornings. And Miss Wilma never shows up, hardly ever, on time. And it's always just been my standard answer. Is Miss Wilma coming? Yeah, she'll be here later. She's just watching soap operas right now. Everybody knows I'm joking. Everyone knows that she doesn't even know what a soap opera is. But she worketh willingly with her hands. She's going to feed a bunch of people today after church. And she was up late and working and doing. And she even asked me to start the lawnmower because it's too hard to pull. And then she went out and started mowing the lawn. Say, what were you doing? I was watching the soap opera. No, I was inside working on something that I had to work on inside. But she worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchants. By the way, do not go out when your wife's mowing and say, what time's dinner? I didn't do that, but someone advised that. That's good advice. Verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to a household, her household, and a portion to her maidens. She's up late working. She's up early working. She knows there's people to feed. She knows there's laundry to do or something like that. She's not lazy. Verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. She's entrepreneur. She's businesslike. She recognizes a good deal. She sees an investment. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's giving. She's hardworking. There's young people that are going to need help with getting clothes and things put together for camp in a couple of weeks. Praise the Lord for someone with a sewing machine. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Let me stop here and say that there are women out there that don't have a clue how to do any of this stuff, but they can tell you the best technique for eyeliner and eyelashes and rouge and whatever. Honestly, that's so immaterial in the big picture. That is so not valuable to men in the big picture. Most men who are attracted to that kind of a woman don't want that kind of a wife. They want the wife they can trust, but somehow we stupid guys get attracted with the flashy, alluring type when we realize that's not who we really want. We don't want that woman raising our children. And so shame on us. If we men would put more value on the right person and the right woman, they wouldn't be able to fool us with their silliness out there on Hollywood and in marketing. And apparently it works because they use a scantily dressed woman to sell just about everything nowadays. You see an advertisement for a vehicle and you think a woman comes with it, you know, because of the way they advertise. It's just everywhere. But a virtuous woman, that's the least of her concern. I think makeup's important, and I'm glad that my wife has some, but I'll be perfectly honest with you. I can't tell when she's wearing it or not because she doesn't overdo it. Thankfully, I thank the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that too. I don't want to be married to someone who looked like they get out of the auto body shop and did a complete paint job. I'm afraid that some of these ladies, and forgive me if you're not liking this, but our governor is one of those ladies. I've talked to her face to face, and I was like, whoa, there's a lot there. And I have to wonder, whenever I talk to someone like that, I just, my mind's like, man, I wonder what she looked like if she rode in the back of a pickup in a car wash. You know, what? Whoa! Who are you? You know, went in one way, came out different way, different woman in the back of the truck. It ought not be that bad, you know. He ought to be able to wake up in the morning and not have to say, who are you? All right. Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh her covering of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Why? Because she's a crown to her husband. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Notice that, verse 25. The virtuous woman doesn't need immediate attention. She knows that her reward's coming later. You know who's super excited right now? Miss Wilma, who's about to be a grandma. Whoopee! I mean, she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. The home of a virtuous woman, that ought to be her first place of importance and influence. The author of our Sunday school material grew up in a home where father was a gambler and died young, and his mother was the breadwinner. And I appreciate what Clarence Sexton said. He said, it's not a sin if the wife has to work outside the home, but let me tell you something. My mother's number one priority was our home. But she had to work outside the home because she had no choice. A lot of ladies, unfortunately, are making the wrong choice with that as well. It makes no sense to drop your children off with someone who is not a relative so that you can go make dollars. Those kids are going to grow up way faster than you think they are. Please don't do that. And the government makes it easy because they have a government daycare that they run 9 months out of the year for about 8 hours a day. We need to recognize that our home is our number one priority. And Dad, it starts with you. You have to provide them with a home, with a place. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be over the top, but just a place where the debts aren't so high because you aren't buying toys and all this stuff and you're not spending unwisely so that then she has to work, blah, blah, blah. But rather, she can be at home. This does not mean she cannot make her home her priority, even if she works. She might have to work, but her home is still her priority. A virtuous woman puts her husband and her home in priority over all other earthly concerns. And verse 28, she'll be praised. Her children and her husband will praise her. Maybe not today, and maybe not tomorrow, but there'll come a day when they will praise her for the value, and they will recognize her value in their life. Ladies, if you will live a godly life and guide your home, your children will rise up and call you blessed, and so will your husband. The Bible says at the end of the chapter there, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Beauty is very temporary as far as outward beauty. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she's beautiful on the inside, she shall be praised. The virtuous woman realizes that her greatest area of service and influence is her own home. And I want to encourage you with that as we talk about the home each and every week. Let me encourage you. And I see Dallas out there. He's a young man. I'm sure one day he will want to get married, if not already. But Dallas, it's got to be the right one. And the best way to find the virtuous woman is to learn to be a virtuous man. And it's interesting how God will pair you with the right person. If you follow His plan, He will find the perfect match for you in His time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity to study it again today using this booklet on the home. Help us to realize the importance. And help us to, even the older folks in here, to recognize the importance of teaching the younger people and encouraging them and helping them think along the way. Lord, I do thank You for the virtuous women in my life. And thank You for the virtuous women in our church. And help us to recognize that the world will never recognize us. They will never applaud that. But You will honor it. And we will be satisfied in the end. We will be thankful for what You did. And we will be thankful for the value that was placed in the right places. We thank You for that. Thank You for the opportunity to live according to Your word through salvation. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.